Chapter 7. Darrow. The Calm. The sun hangs low and swollen over the desert as I roar out the garage ramp. More engines whine behind me as Rona and 20 bodyguards follow. Guided by Colloway, fist-sized drones careen through the sky to feed data into my helmet. They sight grav bike signatures, winding through the sand like rectilinear snake tracks. In their troughs are small depressions, telltale sign of Gorgon skipper boots. "Skip trace," I say. "Stick tight." We abandon the tracks and push toward a string of axe-blade mountains. Following Alexander's coordinates, we ditch the bikes at the base of the mountains and use our grav boots to scale the escarpments, careful to not fly too high, for fear of ground-to-air missiles. In short order, we find Alexander sitting with his helmet off in the shadows of an arroyo. He wears lizard-skin light armor, thinner and more sustainable long-term in the desert than my pulse armor. His looks to be held together more by field patches and dirt than nanofiber. Only his iron lancer badge, a sword against a flying Pegasus, is clean. 4 weeks tracking the Fear Knight with Thraxa seem to have worn him down to his essential elements. He's even thinner and taller than his grandfather. His sunburnt skin is drawn tight and flakes around patrician cheekbones. On his neck, a wretched scab weeps pus. His warhawk is smashed flat and dark with helmet sweat. He looks up as we scramble down. I recall my helmet into its catch and wince at the heat, squinting hard until I step into the shadows where it is 50 degrees cooler. Alexander bolts to his feet. Beneath his chrome desert contacts, his eyes are haunted.
"Bloody hell, just sprawled out Fury Maker," Rona says, a multi-rifle on her shoulder.
Her eyes scan the rocks.
"Fear Knight's gonna gut you while you have your picnic, princess."
His face is too haunted to feign a smile.
"We have pathfinders."
She half lowers her rifle.
"You look a ghost. You prime."
Not long ago, he would have bitten her head clean off with a classist retort. Now he stares at her, as if trying to remember who she is.
What has he seen out here?
"Thraxa is this way, sir."
I find Thraxa lying belly down on a ridge overlooking a plain stretching from the mountains to Angelia. She props herself up on her elbows. One is made of flesh. The other is unpolished asteroid metal, etched with obsidian runes by Valdir Unshorn, Sephi's mate, after Thraxa saved his life in the running skirmishes over the Bay of Bengal. The mountain ridge is littered with boulders and spiked ephedra, but empty of howlers. I toggle my right ocular implant. Throbbing red embers from the quantum ID dots in their skulls fleck the ridgeline. Sevro's little monsters. They don't feel whole without him. The army may miss its mascot, but the pack misses its big brother. I've been too much a distant father of late.
"Reap,"
the large Telemannus acknowledges me without looking. A wolf cloak has taken on the color of the desert, thanks to its chameleon properties. The two obsidian pathfinders move for me, and I crawl even with her as my own cloak turns brown. Thraxa squints through a pair of optics. Freckles form a mask over her face. She hands me her optic set. Knowing what I'll see, I put the optics to my eyes. An all-too-familiar forest has been erected in front of the city. I feel nothing. But then again, I don't smell it yet.
"He did this while you slept," I ask.
"He would have needed hours."
"I shit the pot," Thraxa mutters. I lower the optics.
"We lost him in the Buonides range when he left the shield shattered to cross a death valley." She means the narrow gaps exposed to Atalantia's guns between our shield chain.
"I told you not to let him out of your sight."
"The valley was too exposed. We had drones, and I sent a man. By the time we found his trail, He'd abandoned his course for Eleusis and had already reached Angelia.
The wrong city. She swats pointlessly at a skrill on her neck. More of the two-headed bloodsuckers make homes in her wolf cloak. And your man lost them. Which?
Alexander.
I can't hide my surprise.
How?
He crashed his bike into a hoodoo, fell asleep at the stick.
One is none. Two is one, Thraxa.
We were 140 hours without sleep. Even with the Nazopran, the Lows were hallucinating. Had to rest them in the cargo bins as we rode. Even the Greys. Goals were barely upright. Had to run solo. Alex is the best soldier I've ever seen at his age, including you. Still, she spits in the dirt. We're all blood and bone.
I pushed them too hard. I thought Alex invulnerable. We all did. But even with the proper gear, this desert eats men.
Where is Atlas now?
Gone.
Tracks lead north, bearing for Angelia. She nods to the fair knight's display before the city.
Should I call medships?
No. He came here for a reason, and it wasn't a torture. Get him ready. We're pushing in.
She rallies the howlers as I raise my helmet and hail Orion. She's only just made it back to Blue Reach One.
Trouble? She asks.
Is there a way to spool up the storm gods without showing our hand?
The black slag you think these things are. They aren't a grunt's hair trigger. We can't cool as fast as we can heat. Once we ramp it up, it's a runaway to primary horizon.
What's the lag on cloud coverage?
I'm told soon as the pressure systems activate, an hour. Electrical in two.
What happened?
Unclear.
Orders?
I hesitate. If it's activated too early, Atalantia will notice the unnatural nature of the storm and call off the invasion. Activated too late, the storm won't matter.
Watch how a pit viper strikes, my son, Father said once, as he clutched my wrist and made me play his game. Watch it coil upward and upward till it reaches its crest. Don't move before then. Don't strike out with your sling blade. If you do, then it'll get you. Move just when it's coming down.
I look down at the city the fear knight killed.
Initiate Operation Tartarus. Give me a storm.